join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
This morning, I would like to begin a new series entitled, What Does the Holy Spirit Want From Me? What does the Holy Spirit want from me? This morning, we're going to take a look at how the Holy Spirit desires to first reach in and do something very powerful in our lives. And then He wants us to not just reach up for Him, but He desires for us to ultimately take what He has done in our lives and begin to reach out and with His power begin to change the lives around us. So if you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. As this morning, we're going to start answering this question, what does the Holy Spirit want from me? As you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, let me first just back up and give you a couple things that will help you better understand Acts chapter 2 as we read it. Let me begin by telling you that the purpose of the book of Acts was to provide a condensed history of the early church. That what we're about to look at is part of an eyewitness account of His miraculous ability to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ from Jerusalem to Rome in less than 35 years. In the book of Acts, we see a description of how the Holy Spirit comes to the local church, how He authorizes and then empowers the early church not just to be, but to go. That He authorizes them to go and be His witnesses throughout the entire world. Now, what's amazing about the book of Acts, which could also be called the book of the Holy Spirit's Acts, is that it's filled with all kinds of wonderful and powerful stories that you see the local church experiencing. See, these stories are intended to be stirring examples for us to follow. They're designed in such a way that they help us to see that, like our spiritual ancestors, the Holy Spirit has purpose and power for our lives as well. That we too can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That we can become powerful witnesses in our very own Jerusalems, Judeas, and Samarias. That God has this incredible will, and that will is to use us to touch the uttermost parts of the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 confirms that. Don't go there, but I'll read this for you, where it says in verse 17 of Ephesians 5, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." I want to pause here and say that the Lord desires for you and I to know His will. That He has a purpose that He doesn't want to keep from us, but He has a will that He wants to do in and through us. Verse 18 says, "To be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." What does the Holy Spirit want from us? Well, one of the first things we see is that He wants to use us. And not just use us, but first, He wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit. He wants to authorize us. He wants to empower us so that we can not just touch the Jerusalem in our life, but the Judea, the Samaria, and the uttermost parts of our life with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when Luke wrote this book of Acts, he wrote it to show the fulfillment of what Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus spoke these words in verse 18, and He said, "I will build my church. I will build my church in such a way that not even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, prior to Jesus going back to heaven or ascending to heaven to be with God the Father, He looked at His disciples, He looked at His followers, He looked at the early church and He said this, "I long for you to do my will, and my will is for you to carry this gospel around the world. And not just carry it to the world around you, but to make disciples of the nations around you." And in Luke chapter 24, He says in verse 45, "Then He opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures." I think it takes the Lord opening parts of our minds, or what's left of them, to help us truly understand His will in our life. See, I think God desires for you not just to be Spirit-filled, but to have a Spirit-full lifestyle. He wants to do something so powerful in you that everybody else around you notices it. and doesn't just notice it on a Sunday morning, but they notice it on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and Thursday morning. They want you to live your life, or he wants to empower your life in such a way that by the result of the way that you live it, it causes the people in the uttermost parts of your earth to start asking you questions. Questions that sound a little bit like this. Hey, what's up with you these days? You seem to be so full of peace. You seem to have such joy. I know what's going on in your life. And there's no reason in this world, that you should walk with that kind of joy and have that kind of peace. What's wrong with you? When that guy fronted on you in front of everybody, why didn't you come back on him? Why have you stopped talking bad about people and gossiping? Why? Well, the question is important, but so is the answer. The answer is found in his will, is that he wants us to be filled with the Spirit and so full of his Spirit that when the Holy Spirit is lived out in our lives, it causes people around us to hunger for the power within us. Can you say amen? Now, I want to finish here because Christ is opening their minds. And he tells them in verse 46, this is what is written. Christ will suffer. Christ will rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Or, in other words, beginning in you. See, preaching Christ is more than standing in a pulpit on Sunday. Preaching Christ is in the way that we live our lives each of the other days of the week. And so he's saying, I want to begin with you. What I want from you is you. I want the good, I want the bad, and I want the ugly. I want to so powerfully touch your life that it forever changes your life and the way that you live it. That it is going to be appetizing to a hurt, a broken, and lost world who has lost their lullaby. So he says, I want to begin with you. Why? Because you are the witnesses of these things. You've had a moment in your life where you saw for yourself and experienced personally for yourself a Christ that suffered. A Christ that suffered on the cross for your sins. A Christ that rose from the dead on the third day for your sins. A Christ that because of his love and mercy looked at you, and when you repented, he forgave you of your sins. And now the Holy Spirit wants you to go tell others what you are an eyewitness to. Yes. Yes. Verse 49 says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. You see, for some time in the New Testament church had been hearing about Jesus. Jesus had now come. Jesus is now about to leave. And in his final days and in his final moments and all throughout his lifetime, he talked about that there would be something his Father had promised. That when that something came, that something would empower them. That something would strengthen them. That something would always be with them. That something would never leave them and never forsake them. Christ is referring to that something. And more than that something, he's talking about the someone. He's saying in days to come, my Father will send the Holy Spirit, which he has promised. This Holy Spirit will guide you. It will comfort you. It will strengthen you. It will help you. It will counsel you. It will stand by you through thick and thin. So he's saying, stay here. Stay here in the city of Jerusalem until you have been clothed with that something. Until that someone called the Holy Spirit comes. Because when that presence, when that power, when that person of the Holy Spirit comes, you will be endued with power from upon high. Yes. Now notice here, this scripture says that you will be clothed with power. You shall be, one version says, endued with power. That power shall come upon you. This kind of power does not just refer to personal power for living godly lives, as demonstrated in the lives of the Old Testament saints, but this power was for a new task. This power had a purpose, and that purpose was for you and I to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So often in Spirit-filled circles, and so often in my own personal experiences, we teach and we preach on Acts chapter 2 as if the goal is just to receive the power. And while that is part of what God's goal is, it's not the end result. God is looking at things from the end, and he's looking back at the beginning, and he's saying, you know what? I need some witnesses here. Can I have a witness? And he's saying, what I want to do is I want to endue my people. I want to endue the local church with my power. Not so that they can just come and hoard the power for themselves, but I'm looking at this from the end result and the outcome. Because what I'm looking at is a whole world of people are dying in their sins. And unless they hear about the message of Jesus Christ who saves, delivers, and heals, then they'll die in their sin. And they'll be forever separated from me. So when I look at this power, I have a purpose. I not only want to radically change their lives, but now I want to take those radically changed lives and be witnesses to go here, there, and everywhere until the uttermost parts of the earth have heard that Jesus Christ saves, delivers, and heals. This power is not just for themselves, but it is for the lost and the dying. You see, a church begins to die when coming to church is just for ourselves. A church begins to die. A believer begins to dry up and shrivel when the worship experience is just for them, just for their touch, just for their needs. You see, this is kind of like a refueling station. Let me take this and paint the picture. You see, when you and I have been endued with power, we're a little bit like going into an airplane that takes a trip. And now we are on our way as an airplane, as a believer, and we are headed to the uttermost parts of the earth. And everywhere we go, the whole purpose is to do what? The purpose is to reach out to others, to come out of our witness, to come from our testimony, and to remind people, hey, I too once was lost, now you too can be found. Let me tell you about where I was when I became a witness to God's power. Now, there are times that you and I grow weary in well-doing. Ever been there and done that before? And coming to church should be in that moment a type of renewing, a type of refueling. It's the equivalent of when that plane cannot land and another plane comes and hooks a line into them and they don't ever have to land because this second plane has a lullaby. And as the pilot sings it, that second plane refuels that first plane. See, coming to church should be about refreshing and being renewed. But if it just stops with an internal renewal and it's just for me, then we've missed the purpose of the outpouring. Now, we have been in a season where God has just refreshed, renewed, and refueled us, and it has been awesome. And I, for one, have really enjoyed it. But I am not just being refueled and renewed and refreshed for myself. I am being refueled and refreshed and renewed for the uttermost parts of the earth. It means for you and for me that there are people around us that represent the uttermost parts of the earth. Think about the person that you work with and you don't get along with very well and you do not like. Because their behavior is not likable or lovable. Well, that crusty person represents the uttermost parts of the earth in your life. That's why you're being refreshed. That's why you're being renewed. That's why you're being refueled. You have something God's done in you that God wants to do in them, and God needs somebody to do a flyby and a drive-by in their life and say, look, man, I've been kind of where you've been. I'm going to model something different. Though you give me the curse, I will walk in the blessing. See, the refueling is not just for us, it's for others. And even now, each of you should start having a burden for the person that is in the uttermost parts of the earth in your life. The person that is least likely to be reached with the testimony and the witness of God. You're to be their witness. You're to be their testimony. You're to be the person that walks up to them and say, you know what? I didn't want to try that Jesus stuff. My wife drugged me to church and I had a drug problem. She drugged me Sunday morning. She drugged me Wednesday night. She drugged me to the socials. She drugged me here, there, and everywhere. So I went to church. And I was skeptical and I was critical. I was the person like you that said, I don't go to church because everybody there is just hypocrites. So I can relate to your skepticism. I can relate to your criticism. I can relate to why you don't want to be in church, brother. But I'm not here to tell you about church today. I'm here to tell you about what Jesus Christ did in my heart. I'm here to tell you what Jesus Christ did in my marriage. I'm here to tell you what Jesus Christ did in our finances. I'm here to tell you what Jesus Christ did in us when we wanted to take our prodigal children back to the orphanage and give them up for adoption. God changed me. I'm a witness to Jesus Christ. I went to church one Sunday, and man, it didn't even at all work for me, but something happened inside of me, and something started turning in me, and something started now that I've kind of experienced for a while. I realized it was convicting me. It was God saying to me that He doesn't want me to stand any longer on the outside looking in. He doesn't want me to stand on the uttermost parts of the earth in my hurt and in my pain and in my brokenness. That He doesn't want me to die and go to hell in my sins. I was sitting there that day, and when the preacher preached, he was talking right to me. He might as well call my name. But in that moment, he gave something that I now know is called an altar call. And I walked to the front, and I witnessed firsthand someone whose name is Jesus Christ. And in that moment, Jesus Christ forgave me of my sins. You know what? I used to drink like a fish. And now I don't. Because in that moment, Jesus Christ broke that addiction in my life. I, in that moment, witnessed me being able to give Him my sin-filled heart. And He gave me His Savior-filled heart. And I'm a new person. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my life. I didn't give up drinking and smoking and all the things I did when I lived on the uttermost parts of the earth because I had to. I gave them up because I wanted to, because I had met someone worth laying my life down for. I found someone who laid their life down for me. I'm a Christian not because my wife drags me to church. I'm a Christian because I am a witness to the life-saving power of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you that's my story. See, friend, when you're doing that, you are walking in the will of God. You are realizing why that being filled with the Spirit is so crucial and so important. The purpose and the power that we're going to read of in just a moment is to strengthen and build the church, to build you as a believer so that the gates of hell will not prevail in your lives. The purpose of the Holy Spirit power is for us as individuals to be a corporate church that goes as witnesses, and we tell the world that Jesus Christ, He suffered. He suffered and He died for each of our sins. And then on the third day of His death, He rose from the dead. And because of His mercy and His grace and His act of sacrifice on the cross, each of us can repent and our sins will be forgiven, and we can finally find peace with God, the peace we've been looking for. When you get to the uttermost parts of the people that are standing on the earth where it looks like they're hopeless and forgotten, that peace is a pretty rich commodity. The third purpose of this Holy Spirit power is for us to begin to make disciples of all nations in His name. So with that said, we're in Acts chapter 2. This begins in the city of Jerusalem. The disciples are there huddled in a room that's called the upper room, and this will be a day that is come to known as the day of Pentecost because of a festival that they're celebrating at that time. Now, the early church is waiting obediently in prayer for the Holy Spirit to come upon them and authorize and empower them to be His witnesses. See, God doesn't just carelessly entrust His power or pour His power out on anyone. He looks for those who will carry that power and fulfill His purpose. Recently, this powerful outpouring here in the church has been, I believe, a breath of fresh air. It's been a drink of water for those in the desert. But if it just stops with us in here, then we've missed the purpose that He's entrusted us to carry out. See, it's going to take, as we read this story in just a moment, it's going to take the rest of Acts and the rest of time to describe the ripple event of the baptism of the Holy Spirit being experienced by the local church. I can stand here and for the rest of my life teach on the presence, the person, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can talk about that ripple effect, and I can end my life having done that for my entire life, and still there would be so much to tell you about the Holy Spirit of God. So this message, this series is not intended to tell you all there is to know about the Holy Spirit, but it is designed to help you experience not just the power of the Holy Spirit, but the purpose of that power. So Acts chapter 2 begins in verse 1, and it says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. How many of you know that would be a little different if you came one Sunday and saw that happen here? I think we would be inclined to ask each other, why is there fire that is kind of just hovering over your head? Now, verse 3 said, they saw what did seem to be the tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They all got stirred, and the sign or the manifestation or the evidence of that power saw and heard that they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I want us this morning to recognize some things from Scripture that we learn from the early church. And again, I think we're to learn from these stories, and I think we're to apply the truths and the principles to our lives that can be found in these stories, because they help us recognize how to fulfill the purpose God had in mind. You see, God has a purpose in mind with this power, and we see first and foremost that the early church obeyed the word. That's marching orders for you and for me. That coming to church is not just about feelings and emotions, though God powerfully moves through them. But when he moves through them, it's so that we can walk in order and in obedience to his word. He wants us to leave from here. He wants us to read this word. He wants us to hide this word in our heart. Why? Because one writer said, I hide this word of God in my heart so that I will not sin against God. See, the early church could have gone to a lot of other places and been in a lot of places, but instead they obeyed the word of the Lord. They went to Jerusalem and they went to that city and they stayed there until the Holy Spirit came upon them, until that Holy Spirit stirred them, strengthened them, and endued them with power. See, the day of Pentecost is not something that we should celebrate just once a year when on the calendar it says it's X number of days after Easter. The day of Pentecost is something that God wants each of us to obediently wait on and walk in every day of our lives. The Lord knows we need power for living, and so he's saying, hey, come and wait in this secret place with me. Come to a place, make it the upper room in your life. Make that the place where you go and prayerfully wait on me. Make it a place where you let me work out the things in your life that right now I would not call obedience. Let me teach you obedience in that place. Because as you wait on me and as you read my word, then you are going to be endued with power, not just to live your lives, but you're going to be endued with power to be witnesses, to help change other people's lives. I want you to turn to about three people and tell them, it's not all about me. See, when Christianity becomes all about me, and getting my fix and getting my feel, then we've begun to use the power in an incorrect way. Because the power is not just for us, it's for everyone. How many of you have ever had a power outage at your house? You've had one before. How many of you know it disrupts the way that you live your life? Last night we had one, not because I wanted one and not because anyone asked for one, but because this wonderful floor heater that we purchased at Walmart for $16 plus tax that I've been celebrating all through the cold holidays was plugged in, and somebody else dared to plug something else in, and guess what happened? There was a lack of power. We were standing in the dark. And for me, I didn't just hear crickets, I heard the things that live in the dark. Now, it was my responsibility to be the one to go out and figure out why there's not power. Because without power, it would affect everything about last night, and it did for a few moments. So I went out to the breaker box and had to break it to get in. Ever been there before? And I had to reset the breaker because it was no longer on. It was moved to an off position. Therefore, because it was off, there was no power. There was no light. We could not see the light because we did not have the light. What a silly illustration, Pastor Greg. No, not until I apply it. See, friend, what this is teaching us that the early church did was they went and they waited on the light. They waited on the power that would generate the light, and the light would guide them. The light would guard them. The light would be a comfort to them. It would console them. It would strengthen them, and it would help them find the others who were living in the dark. You see, as I ran outside in front of our house, and I noticed that it was only our house that had the lights off, I knew something was wrong in my house. There was darkness in my house, but there wasn't darkness in other people's house. Thankfully, there was a street light that could guide me to the dark place so that then I could take my hand and turn on the light by flipping the breaker. See, that's a beautiful picture for you and for me of the purpose. See, our lives are not the same when the light of Jesus Christ is not on. We lack direction. We lack comfort. We lack counsel. We lack strength. We lack hope. Hopefully, there is someone, though, that has the light of Jesus Christ on in their heart. Hopefully, there's someone that will come to us and not be selfish with the power and not be selfish with the light. But hopefully, there will be somebody that will come to the uttermost parts of our life and say, here's the light. And I'm not talking Bud Light, but here's the light. Here is the one true light. Here is Jesus Christ. He can save you. He can deliver you. He can heal you. That's why you and I have to practice obedience and come to church and come into the daily parts of our life and constantly wait on the word, wait on the power, wait for the lights to come on so that in our lives we can find His way. And His way always leads to helping someone else. It's the united way. The second thing we learn here is while they prayed, they made priority, or they made unity a priority. Scripture and history records that they got in one mind and in one accord. Now, I drive in accord, and I got to tell you, there are some real advantages to being in one accord. That sounded better here than... But here's the point. My accord has a GPS system. Now, are you with me? See, while they prayed, they made unity a priority. They made getting along a priority. As with working with any humans, I bet it wasn't easy. Because today it isn't easy. Do you know you have to be tough to come to church? Do you know coming to church is not for the weak at heart? Do you know that a lot of believers are fragile? The French word for fragile. Yes. That a lot of Christians need to carry around some yellow tape that says, handle with care. You know, there are people in this church that make it hard to pastor. That they're kind of one of the characters from Goldilocks and the Three Bears. That something's always too hot. Something's always too cold. Somebody's eating my porridge. Somebody's sitting in my chair. I didn't get my way. Well, even though Frankie said we should do it our way, there's really only one way, and it's the Lord's way. But here's my point again. They made unity a priority. They made getting along a priority. And when you come to church, you can learn from the early church that part of the Holy Spirit within us that He filled us with is designed to use that power to get along, to use that power to have unity, to have diversity with harmony, and to come to church and not come just to see what's wrong. It won't take you long. But when you see something wrong, think about, how can I make that right? Well, I know how I can make that right. I'm going to get on my cell phone, and I'm going to pray about it. Hey, girl, what you doing? Hey, man, yeah, I saw you at church yesterday, but we didn't get to talk much. So I thought I would call because I had a few things I wanted to pray about. Did you notice girlfriend yesterday and what she was wearing? Oh, my gosh. And you see how she was raising her kids? Man, those kids are the spawn from... Diablo. And oh my gosh, I can tell you what, I think you know. And you know, you saw how Pastor Greg let Renee do a video today with his kid and it had a song.
Oh, what did you think about that song?
Oh, I think it is wrong, Senor. Rita. See, my point is very simple. It was very clear to me last night when the lights were off. It was very clear. I didn't have to pray and get a word. I didn't need someone from the light company to come interpret what was happening in my life. The lights were off. But in this case, somebody was home. Are you breathing? And that somebody went and turned the lights on. What I'm trying to say this morning that I hope you're catching is that Holy Ghost power has a purpose. It's not just to come to church on Sunday and be loud and be long. It's not so that our praise and worship eclipses everybody's ability to see God, because we got to get our fix and we got to get our feel. Our responsibility with that power is to be strengthened, to be endued with that power so that we can be stirred to go to the uttermost parts of the earth and turn the lights on in other people's lives whose lives have had life turn their light off. And not only stop there, but to recognize, wow, here it is. Here's the upper room. That upper room had 120 people praying. We may have a few more there too, but what we have in common is people. And where there is people, there's going to be people. And you know what I found? It's not easy getting along with people. Now, I am convinced I have the answer, and the answer is if people were more like me, we'd all get along, and the world would be a better place. But guess what? People don't want to be just like me, and shame on me for expecting that, because really, the Word says people don't need to be like me, they need to be like He. So see, part of the Holy Spirit experience, part of coming to a Spirit-filled smirch, is that we are to use that power to strengthen and encourage each other and make unity and harmony a priority. Now, can I have a good round of applause? Because that's good living. That's good living. That's good living. See, I think a world comes to a Spirit-filled church, and I think there's some things they're like, wow, I have never seen this before. Because you're going to see some things in a Spirit-filled church you've never seen before. But can I tell you, there should be some things they stop seeing. They should stop seeing things like gossip and division and separating and backbiting and pride. Just so you know. Let me close. Third point that we're going to learn from the early church today. Once the power came, they didn't stay. They left. And we are moving forward as a church family. I'm not asking you to leave and find another church. That's not what I mean by leaving. What I am talking about is that we must commit ourselves to the purpose of this power. That means that we must leave our comfort zone. We must leave our rights. And we must work towards what's right. And we must use this power wisely. We must recognize that in some parts of our life, in some parts of our heart, the lights have been turned out. But in the last couple months, God has turned that light back on in our heart. He's endued us with power. Now let's go live that way. Now let's go look that way. Now let's leave and go into the highways and the byways and start sharing the testimony of what Jesus has done in our lives with anybody and everybody that will listen. Let's start bringing them to church and let's start giving them a life that makes them hungry and makes them ask the question, what's wrong with you? Why do you have such peace? What's wrong with you? Why do you have such love? What's wrong with you? You shouldn't be up. You should be down. But you walk with such joy. Most people would have quit and given up. It just seems like you have signed up for another tour of duty. What's wrong with you that in the midst of suffering, something comes out of you that doesn't even look like the you I used to know? Who is that somebody? Yeah, well, friend, that somebody is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Lord and King. And He has said, you know what? We are on a mission. And it's not impossible, but we're on a mission to the uttermost parts of the earth. And this church is not going to stop leaving until every person has heard the message that Jesus saves, Jesus delivers, and Jesus heals. So I got to get you ready to leave. We got to get ready to leave. We got to start loving our community in ways that our community says, man, what's going on over there at 401 Landing Boulevard? There's such love there. There's such joy there. There's such peace there. See, when a lost and dying world comes to the local church and finds the same brokenness and heartache there and not the healing, when they come here and they find that the lights are off here, just like the lights are off there, then they say there's no relevancy for the 21st century church. But oh, my heart for you today is to recognize that the Holy Spirit of God wants to light you up, wants to fill you with the power and the purpose of His Spirit. So today I just have set the table. Over the next few weeks, we're going to continue to eat and answer the question, what does the Holy Spirit want from me? We're going to give individuals opportunity to come and stand in the altars and pray and be prayed for and wait for the power and the light to come. But today, what I want you to do is just stand to your feet. I want you just to stand for a moment. I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to ask yourself this question. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you just to thoughtfully ask this question of yourself. That question is simple, and that is, today, do I need the light of Jesus Christ? Today, do I need Him to visit the uttermost parts of my earth? That's the question. Today, do I need Him to visit with me? Today, do I need Him as my Savior, my Deliverer, and my Healer? With heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, I want you to quickly just put your hand up and put it right back down. You're saying, I need the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Hands are beginning to be raised throughout the building, and people for different reasons are saying, yes, sir, I need His light to visit the uttermost parts of my earth. I need to experience Him. I need to become a witness of Jesus Christ. One more moment. Just raise your hand up. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Put it up and just put it right back down. Yes, hands are continuing to go up. Thank you. Now, as we conclude this morning, I'd like to encourage each of us to pray a simple prayer. This prayer connects us to His light. That light is then turned on in us. That light begins to refresh and renew and refuel us. That light begins to release the strength of God to console, to comfort, and to help us. Some of us will be praying it for the first time today, others for the next time. Because each of us have witnessed today the need for Jesus. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you pray this with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I invite Jesus Christ into my life, into the uttermost parts of my life. I give the Holy Spirit permission to convict, to cleanse, and to comfort me in the area I need Him. This morning, I ask that the Holy Spirit would begin to fill me with His power and with His purpose, that indeed I might be a point of light to the uttermost parts of the earth around me. I receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just put your hands together and receive the Word of God today? You see, I thank the Lord for the wonderful foundation that He gave me in His Word through the years that I spent in a Baptist church. And I thank God for the years that I have spent in a Pentecostal, Spirit-filled church. I just thank God for this wonderful journey He's given to me. And this morning, I want to encourage you to remember that the day of Pentecost doesn't just have to stop in Acts chapter 2, and it doesn't even have to stop today because it's Sunday. that each and every day God longs to be the Holy Spirit in your life, and He longs to come into your life and endue you with His power and fill you with His purpose. So today, let's get out there and let's get full. God bless you. Have a great week in Him.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.